This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. While driving across Texas, you might cross paths with local law enforcement officers, and an officer might take a shine to your car, your cash, or jewelry. And using the power of civil forfeiture, the officers can seize your property merely on the suspicion that you were breaking the law. No charges had to be filed. There are no convictions. You get no day in court. Has this ever happened to you? We'd love to hear your story. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Have you ever been on the wrong side of civil forfeiture? 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, David Guillory. He's a civil rights lawyer with the Lone Star Legal Aid. David, welcome to The Source.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. And Forrest Wilder, a reporter at the Texas Observer. Forrest, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks. Great to be here.
So, David, let me ask you, how is it that law enforcement, they have the authority to seize the property of people suspected of breaking the law, but there is no due process?
Well, there's actually two things going on there. To directly answer your question, there's a statute, Chapter 59 of the Property Code and the Criminal Code of Criminal Procedure, allows civil forfeiture, allows the taking of property that is used in or is the proceeds of a crime. That's a very, very poorly drafted statute that has minimum guarantees of due process.
And so that was something that was passed by our legislature.
Yeah, it was passed on. It's probably a decade old law, and even at that, it's not exactly followed. There's a lot of shortcuts even taken with what little it offers.
Okay, but what about constitutional protection? Isn't there a Fourth Amendment protection there somewhere?
Absolutely, and of course, the Fourth Amendment protects anyone from being stopped without probable cause, being searched without probable cause, and the 14th Amendment prevents property from being taken away from you without due process. So the constitutional guarantees are already there. This statute allows very, very little constitutional guarantees because the lawsuits are brought against the property itself. It's a legal fiction that is brought in order to seize property.
So how do they bring a lawsuit against my $300 that I had in my pocket?
Well, they do exactly that. The lawsuit that would be filed against your $300 would be styled the State of Texas versus David Davies' $300. And because your $300 has no constitutional rights, the protections for your $300 are very, very minimal.
All right. So, Forrest Wilder, where are the hot spots in Texas? Where should I be avoiding if I'm concerned about the civil forfeiture?
Well, you know, as I think David well knows, that East Texas is one such place. The town of Naha, in particular, was sort of became a national story because of the pretty extreme operation that the local law enforcement, the DA, were running there. South Texas, as well, has been another area. Jim Wells County down in South Texas, south of San Antonio, has been one area that we've written about before. Basically, you know, it could be anywhere where local authorities look at this as potentially a combining law enforcement with an opportunity to fund their operations. There's some law enforcement agencies in Texas that at last count, you know, something like 30-40% of the revenue was derived from civil asset forfeiture. So it can be lucrative for law enforcement.
Law enforcement say that they need this tool, that this goes right after the pocketbook of drug dealers, drug runners, you know, people who are breaking the law. And this is a way to take away their profits, David.
Well, in theory, that would be wonderful if they were going after drug dealers. But I represent hundreds of people who have had property taken away from them, and I can promise you none of them were drug dealers. None of them were even violating the law. That's the abuses of the statute and the system that we've got here in Texas.
One of the incredible things to me that's this really striking is that, let's say, for example, you aren't somebody that's connected with the crime and that you believe that your property is not contraband, and that has been unrightfully taken from you by the government. Basically, you have to go lawyer up and prove in a court of law that you are, quote-unquote, an innocent owner. You have to prove to the court. And if you think about it, that is a sort of a higher legal standard than we provide for criminal defendants, even though this is actually a civil proceeding. And, you know, a lot of people, especially the people that are targeted, don't often have the means, the resources, or the know-how to go out and do that. And so they essentially let their property be taken from them, and there's not a whole lot of due process or recourse.
Right. So, David, earlier we were talking about how there's this construction where they can file suit against my car or my cash that they took off me, and that allows them to do this. But there's no appeal. There's no the Supreme Court. Have they ever weighed in on this?
The Supreme Court has recently weighed in on this, and they've upheld the constitutionality of the statute and the system in general. They've endorsed it, it seems. And as Forrest just mentioned, very often you don't have the flame is not worth the candle in appealing these things. You have to spend $7,000 just for a lawyer to go see if you can get back your $4,500 pickup truck that was stolen. If you have to spend another $15,000 over and above that to appeal it, all of a sudden it's just upside down, and no one wants to do that.
So you're saying that we're saying that there are bad actors in law enforcement that are abusing this tool that was created to fight the drug war, and they're going after just average Joes who are driving across the state of Texas. Maybe they've got their stake that they've saved up over a number of years, and now they are in their car, and that's being taken, and they've got no recourse. David, is that what we're facing?
I really think that it is. There's no practical recourse. Of course, there's the courts, but courts are expensive, and very often the amounts that are being taken make it's simply not worth doing. So as a practical matter, there is no recourse for this.
But the bad actors, there are bad actors in law enforcement who are abusing this.
I think that as a whole, the law enforcement is as honest and ethical as an equivalent number of plumbers or accountants are. There's nothing wrong with law enforcement. I think it's this statute that has created these incentives to cut corners. You follow the money in this situation, and you see between 10 and 40% of these local municipalities' budgets being funded by civil forfeiture, and I think the temptation is there to get all you can as soon as you can, and that's what's happening here.
And even in this town, Tinihua, that where they basically have, according to the New Yorker and their write-up, it's a racket that they've got going on. Driving through that town, you're basically going to get shaken down, David.
Well, Tinihua stood out for a number of reasons, but the biggest one of which was that it was motivated by race. They were singling out African-American people, stopping them and taking their stuff. And I think the whole idea there was that they were picking on people that they were calculating wouldn't fight back.
Okay. All right. We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about civil asset forfeiture, how this is done, how people are being targeted, what recourse there is. Apparently none. I guess the best advice here is how to avoid being picked on. Anyway, if you've got a question, a comment, if this has happened to you, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about Supreme Court Justice John Roberts and the Roberts Court and where they're taking America, what their decisions are, if they're partisan or not. But right now, we're talking about civil asset forfeiture. If you're suspected of a crime, police and the DA, they've got to go to court to prove it. But if your car is suspected of being used in a crime, the police or the DA, they can just take it, keep it, and sell it, keep the profits without spending a moment in court or even by even filing charges. It's called civil asset forfeiture. And if this has happened to you, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. So, Forrest Wilder, you're one of our guests from the Texas Observer. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that their office, in Tarrant County, they seized $3.5 million, 250 cars, 440 computers in the fiscal year 2013, 10% of the budget. So it's not just small little towns. That's a big operation there.
Right. Yeah, and I think there's a point here, which is that as you see local government scrambling to try to meet needs because of, you know, the tight budgetary times that we're in, I mean, here is a program that on its surface seems to make complete sense. Go after the bad guys, take their ill-gotten property, and sell it off to fund the legitimate, you know, duties of law enforcement and the courts. The problem, of course, is that has been somewhat perverted because of the sort of evolution of civil asset forfeiture. It probably at some time that's more or less how it operated, and the structure of the statute, what it allows. And then on the extreme examples, like some of the ones that have been in the media, law enforcement can go to some extreme measures to basically run kind of appears to be sort of a shakedown operation. That would be an extreme example.
David Guillory, civil rights lawyer with the Lone Star Legal Aid. I mean, are we seeing that all of this money is being used for legitimate law enforcement?
I think, you have to stretch the definition of legitimate law enforcement. I think that most of the money is being used well. It's the on the fringes where you see true abuses. But even within big programs like the one that you just mentioned in Fort Worth, or closer to home, the city of San Antonio at any given time has at least $1 million on hand of money seized from civil forfeiture. And when you start seeing district attorney's offices funding nonprofit organizations that might have the goal of helping crime victims or that kind of thing, that's a good cause, and no one would disagree with it. But it's not law enforcement. It's something other than law enforcement. So what we see is a stretching of the definition, even in good programs.
Yeah, Texas law enforcement can keep up to 90% of the proceeds. We're seeing just really a small amount actually going to those charities and helping victims. But we're also seeing using the money to buy margarita machines, to go to conferences in Hawaii, have all sorts of partying with the money also. That's happened too, Forrest.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and I think you're probably referring to the Tanahawk case there, where again, yeah, I mean that was sort of, you know, when you have a story that's just that egregious and that explosive, that definitely could focus people's attention on some of the fundamental problems. I think you could make the case that was a sort of an extreme program, but it flowed out of, again, I mean, the basic kind of issue, I think, with the way that civil asset forfeiture is set up, is that the protections for the innocent party are so limited that kind of facilitates abuse to varying degrees. And so in that case, what you had is some of the proceeds were being sort of spent on things that have, you know, really no connection whatsoever with the role and goals of law enforcement. I mean, it was just sort of, to some extent, kind of fun money, margarita machines, Halloween costumes, and things like that are not really related to what they're supposed to be.
All right, let's open our phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. Byron has called in. Byron, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I'd like to say for a comment, there is something that you can do, is stand up to a bully. Anyone in the Bexar County area should listen that if they have anybody trying to condemn or take or seize their property, you go to the second story of the new courthouse on Delarosa Street, costs about $300, and you're going to file something called a writ of certiorari. I hope I pronounced that right. It bypasses your local government and it requests a judicial review, so you're taking this to a district court and letting the judge review it, and you put up a fight. And most of these bullies won't even expect anybody to do that. Anyone has the right to do that. Like I said, $300 if you're going to Bexar County. You got to get to know your local courthouse. That's my best advice.
Okay, we're going to check that out. Byron, thanks for calling in with that information. David, is that work? A writ of, I'm not really sure what he said.
Well, you're in district court to begin with. They have to file the civil forfeiture lawsuit. You can go defend the thing there and save your $300. The way to defend these things is assert that the stop was illegal, the search was illegal, it was without consent or without probable cause. And in a criminal matter, that would carry the day. And probable cause is probable cause, regardless of the forum. The way to defeat these are the same way that you'd defeat it if this was a search that resulted in finding some contraband or something like that. There's also federal court for defending these things. I file my civil forfeiture defenses in the court that it's brought in, some local district court, but I file my counterattack in federal court because I think the federal courts take the notion of due process and probable cause a lot more seriously than a local court that stands to financially benefit from the seizure program.
So, David, tell me more about some of the cases that you're challenging.
We are always looking for impact litigation. That is where we can bring a suit that affects a lot of people and will hopefully bring about some reforms to what we find to be bad systems. Civil forfeiture is no exception. We have a number of cases where we see civil forfeiture being done on a wholesale or systematized basis where there are wholesale abuses of civil rights. And if we can get a court to put an injunction in place to stop one of these actions and bring these practices to a halt, we've done a lot of good for a lot of people. We have lawsuits in various places in East Texas, in Southeast Texas, and as far north as the Texarkana region. So it's something that we're against and we're actively fighting. We don't object to the system itself. We object to the abuses that are happening within the system.
What about claiming, David, a proportionality defense? Is that a way to challenge this in court also?
That's not anything I'm familiar with. The statute allows to take whatever property, even if it's disproportionate to whatever the crime is. The crime should be a felony. That's built into Chapter 59. But very often, the probable cause for pulling someone over or even the supposed crime that somebody is engaged in might just be the possession of a marijuana cigarette or something like that, which isn't a felony. Again, these are abuses within the system, and there's no one policing it. There's no checks and balances on the system. It lends itself to very, very loose prosecution. And as Forrest said, you got to lawyer up to fight these things, and no one's got the money for that. That's where outfits like ours come in.
So, Forrest, you cover the legislature pretty tightly up in Austin. Is this something that can be addressed there?
Yeah, it's certainly been discussed. And there was some legislation that passed, I believe, in the last session that dealt with one problem in particular. But I mean, I think the fundamental thing that they haven't grappled with again is just how do you empower the innocent party to be able to make more to have a lower hurdle, so to speak, to make their case. And I think that, until that is addressed, and also just the issue of how we fund courts and cops, and we, you know, if the state is going to be responsible in part for underfunding and at the same time provide this lucrative revenue stream without the protections, then we're kind of stuck with the system. I think the Supreme Court, the dissent that was written by Justice Willett, and
that's
Martin,
the Texas Supreme Court.
Texas Supreme Court. That's right. The Texas Supreme Court was very interesting. I mean, essentially, the majority punted on addressing the core issue here and pointed to its last decision in 1957 on it, you know, long before this modern system that we're talking about had evolved. That dissent written by Justice Willett was really interesting. I mean, basically, it was. He said, a generation ago, basically asset forfeiture was limited to wresting ill-gotten gains from criminals, and today it has a distinctive Alice in Wonderland flavor, victimizing innocent citizens who've done nothing wrong. And his point was the Texas Supreme Court, really needs to address this. And I think that goes back to the issue of there's no check, there's no accountability, there's no balancing that's going on. And the courts lost an opportunity to do something, and so now maybe it goes back to the legislature to take it up again.
But it seems like that they are, the law enforcement, when they do abuse this system to enrich their local law enforcement coffers, they're targeting the powerless. They're looking for folks who do not. They seem like they don't have a lot of means as they're driving down the highway. David?
That's been what we've found. All of our clients are, by definition, poor folks. But it's people with assets and people with means that might fight these things on principle. And if you fight them, you're going to win. It's the people that can't afford to fight them that are victimized.
But when you win, you only win your particular case, and there are no sanctions brought against the law enforcement so that they will keep going.
Absolutely, and it's a Pyrrhic victim. It's a Pyrrhic victory, even at that. You might have to spend $15,000-$20,000 to fight one of these lawsuits to get back your $300 or your luggage or whatever it is they took from you.
Right. So we did see the legislature tighten up the law a little bit in 2011. Was that a result of some of the reporting that we've seen, say, like down in Jim Wells County, and could more be coming forced?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
We did see the legislature in Texas tighten up the law some in 2011.
Yeah.
Other states have pretty good success with civil forfeiture without going to the extremes that Texas has.
Yeah, I think the hard part, though, is that two things. One is that DAs, prosecutors, and police have a lot of influence, and rightfully so, at the legislature. And it's often difficult to overcome that, even when it's a pretty serious problem that most legislators will acknowledge needs addressing. You still have to get it through the process, and there's lots of hurdles. That's how it's designed. And the second thing is that, again, I mean, you've got this issue. Let's say that they went the route of some other states that put a lot of restrictions on civil forfeiture. Then you're choking off the flow of revenue to what are oftentimes, you know, underfunded law enforcement agencies. And this legislature, in particular, is coming up, and the ones previous to it, are not real keen on finding new sources of revenue. So they're in a difficult spot on the narrow terms that usually these things are dealt with on. So that's a bit of a conundrum. I mean, I think some of these
but there's this long-term social toll that you pay as you take away innocent people's property for this thing. Eventually, you will have a critical mass where people are fed up, and then it just doesn't stop at trying to rectify a civil forfeiture.
Well, I think, you know, and I think going back to that dissent from Justice Willett was interesting because here's a very conservative justice.
I got to cut you off there because, buddy, we're out of time. Forrest Wilder, Texas Observer, great reporter. David Guillory, civil rights lawyer with the Lone Star Legal Aid. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after the NPR News.